We'd open our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 9. And I'd like to read from the first 8 verses, if we might. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bears me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are also Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken an effect, for they are not all Israel which are Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we reverently assemble here this morning in the most wonderful name that we know, that of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we would ask that you would open our eyes today to thy word, to understand why it is that Paul was in heaviness and great sorrow in his heart. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to thy Spirit and thy Word, knowing for sure we are living in the last days. And Father, we commit this service and the sight of thy people. We commit it all unto thee in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I say the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience also bears witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could even wish myself to be accursed from Christ for my brethren's sake. Paul looked out among the Jews which he came from, his people, the people of God. And he had great sorrow. On the one hand, great joy, because Christ had revealed himself to him. But on the other hand, great sorrow for those who could not see it. Last Sunday we spoke from verse 1 where Paul spoke of his conscience bearing witness with the Holy Ghost. Then we find him telling us in verse 2 that although his conscience is bearing witness with the Word of God, yet he finds himself in a condition where he has continual sorrow and heaviness in his heart. For those seed of Abraham, the Jew, who have been purposely blinded so that the Gentile might see. Then as we progress through the chapter 9, we would hear Paul speak on the subject of predestination. Yet, before he nails down this wonderful doctrine of predestination, he sets the tone by telling us of his sorrow and his heaviness for those who are not in that elected group. It's almost as if it's a paradox. And this is what I would like to speak on this morning. We see an attitude being presented by Paul. The same attitude was presented by Jesus Christ, who died for our sins while we were yet sinners. And although Jesus died for the sins of the world, yet not everyone in the world is ordained to receive it. If you turn with me this morning to Philippians chapter 2, I'd like to read from verse 1 through 9. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, what's the consolation? Anyone wish to take a stab at that? What is consolation? Okay, he goes on to say any comfort of love. But what's the consolation? What's the root word? Console. All right, what's the difference between comfort and consoling? Think about it. Do you console yourself? Usually, consoling comes from what? Someone else and outside. If there be therefore any consolation, where does it come? In Christ. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. You know, that's so hard to do today. That's asking an awful lot for a people whose mindset is Laodicea. But he goes on to tell us, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. But the mindset of Laodicea is a very selfish attitude. What can I do for me? As long as the economy is okay, I can overlook the sin taking place in the White House. As long as my pocketbook's not affected, I don't care if other people's is. As long as I've got food on my table, I don't care if other people don't. As long as I'm okay, then everyone else is okay. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things. In other words, don't have a mind which is selfish, but every man also on the things of others. And yet that scripture in this day would be read, don't worry about what you got, just try to get what somebody else has. Like Brother Ram said, keeping up with the Joneses. But that's not what Paul is talking about. He's saying, don't look upon your things, but look upon the needs of others. Let this mind, and that word mind is actually a word which means attitude. Let this attitude be in you, which was also first in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, yet he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He knew his place. Equal with God. A son whose name was on the checkbook with Dad. Equal. But he made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Notice first he humbled himself, then he became obedient. What did Brother Branham, how did he define humility? What did he say humility was? Knowing your place in the Scripture. What is true humility? He knew that he was equal with God. Yet he became a servant. Let this attitude, which was first in Christ, be in you. And so Paul says, I say the truth in Christ. I'm not lying to you. When I tell you that my conscience is also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, because I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. Paul had great heaviness and continual sorrow when he looked out among his brethren. Let this mind which was in Christ be in you. When we see the young ones being raised up to worship God and departing from the faith, going out into the world, falling away in the hour of the great falling away, we ought to be in sorrow. We ought to be in heaviness. Because we see these young people going out, living what? Living in a manner, living in a way which is death, in the hour of death, in the hour of the judgment, turning from Christ and God. And yet we seem to just kind of poo-poo the thing. Oh, they're good kids, are they? They were raised right. Maybe that's true. But there's no revelation. No revelation. Therefore, no life. And it grieves me in my heart to see the sacrifice of the parent or parents, and to see the young people turn their nose away from God in Christ. Now, there was a day and a condition when people could do that And they walked away for a year, maybe 2 years. We don't have a year or 2 years to walk away. Hebrews 6 says at the end time, if you walk away, there is no more repentance. There is no more turning back. Then what's left? What's left? Death and destruction. From identification, Brother Branham said, then see, God came down. And the character of God was Christ. He was the reflection. He was God made visible. Notice, God made visible. In the beginning was God. He wasn't even God then. No, a God's an object of worship. Only thing He was the eternal. And in Him was attributes, and those attributes were thoughts, and those thoughts was expressed to words. And word was made manifest. And what is it? It's all God becoming tangible. And you are part of God. And Jesus come to redeem those that was put on the Lamb's book of life before the foundations of the world. It was in God's thoughts, and that's what He come to redeem. And them as, notice, and then, as soon as it strikes to them, they see it. Because the life is in there. That's why I've said for years, you can't sit in this message for 20 years and then one day become born again. Either the light strikes, when the light strikes, something in you takes place, begins to well up, begins to swell, and begins to recognize, or it never will. It never will. Then should we be boastful and proud and arrogant because it doesn't in others? No. As Paul said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart because I know the end. I know the end. And that is a thing, brother, sister, that ought to cause a great concern and a great cry and a great desperation in this last hour. Are we here to play church? I'm not talking just to you in reference. Are we who serve the Lord really serving the Lord? Is our attitude one in which we cry and sigh for the abomination done in the city? We cry out like Paul and look about at our brethren in the flesh? And there's no compassion, there's no stirring among us. Brother Branham said, and you are a part of God, and Jesus come to redeem those that was put on the Lamb's book of life. How does He redeem? What happens when He redeems? He says, and He's come to redeem those that was put on the Lamb's book of life before the foundations of the world. It was in God's thoughts, and that's what He come to redeem, and them, as soon as it strikes to them, they see it, because the life is in there. But if the life isn't in there, then what can they do? See? They don't see it. They'll never see it. See? And the whole thing is, Jesus said, at that day you'll know. At that day you'll know. That I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. Now let's just look at what Jesus is saying here. At that day, He's speaking of a specific day. At that day what? You will know. There's going to be a certain group of people in a certain time that will have a certain attribute or characteristic, which comes from the word character, about them. And that is that they will know. At that day, you will know. Know what? In this great day of education, this great day of learning, this great day where there's every few minutes, it seems, there's knowledge being doubled, the access to knowledge through the internet and different sources is so great. At that day, at that day. You know, when we preach Brother Don's mother's funeral, I made the statement. I said, the reason why some of you here are so sorrowful today is because you will never see her again. She was a good Christian woman who believed God, trusted God. And there was people in that audience who felt terrible. And the reason they felt terrible is because they knew deep in their heart they would never see her again. They would never enter to that side of the Riven Veil. The sixth dimension is where the saints go. The fifth is where the haints go, or the ain'ts. There's a separation. There's a gulf between them. And Paul had great heaviness and continued sorrow in his heart because he knew of a separation between his lineage, his flesh, his blood. And it ought to cause us to cry out to God in great heaviness and travail until God steps on the scene and does something. As Brother Rand said about the fellow who, he was a good Christian boy, but he just got in the wrong crowd. And he left church, he left God, he left Christ. He left the Word. And Brother Branham went to see him. He's working in an auto mechanic place. When Brother Branham went to talk to him, he didn't want nothing to do with it. Later on that day, Brother Branham was walking down the street, and he saw a bunch of people over by that shop. And what had happened was the car he was working on fell on him, killed him. And he said, if you're God's, if you're his seed, if you don't come, God's provided a way, he'll take you off the scene. Now that's a rough thing to do, but that's the only way to do. God knows how to clean up his kids. He knows how to keep them from bringing forth a manifestation which is not his. Brother Branham said, and those attributes were thoughts, and those thoughts was expressed to words, and the word was made manifest. What is it? It's all God becoming tangible. Remember, we brought out last week, Brother Branham said, when the Holy Spirit comes in about the size of a button, as a light, about the size of that button. Then when word is piled upon word, it begins to take over every fiber of your body. What is a sun? Dwayne? What is a sun? A sun. Offspring. Part of you. An expression of your life. An expression of your genetic characteristics. And yet God had only one sun that showed forth a complete expression. As Brother Vail said last night, it's not quantity, it's quality. Then we're all fallen sons. For if we weren't fallen sons, we would have no need of redemption. We're all fallen. Yet what's the difference between those who are fallen and lost and those who are fallen and are redeemed and saved? One thing. He said, if the life isn't in there, then what can they do? They don't see it. They'll never see it. What can you do? What can you do? Joe, what can you do to those who cannot see, that it might build some hope in you? What was one of the greatest messages Brother Branham ever preached? In fact, he said the greatest outside of the seals. The greatest message. Ron, the token. How do you apply the token? Live it. Be an example. Get rid of the things of the world. Will your believing the message save them? But what did Brother Branham say that you do? He said, you take the faith that you had for yourself, and you know that you're saved, and you believe for them. Why? Because they can't believe for themselves. And you pray, God, whatever it takes, Lord, I pray that you'd wrestle them down until all they can see is their condition and their need for you. Now, that won't make them elect. But certainly on the other side, there's going to be a great, vast number of people, the ones in between. All those that you ever loved, Brother Branham was told, and all those that ever loved you. Jesus said, if you give a glass of water in the name of a disciple, it'll never be forgotten in this world or the world to come. Create an atmosphere of love. Because Brother Branham said, only perfect love will enter into that place. Create an atmosphere to where they want to be with you. They want to be around you. They like coming into your presence. They like talking. And they begin to do for you. You know, I used to be very, I'll say arrogant, very self, how would you call the word, not wanting anybody to do anything for me. I used to be that way. A lot of people are. Because they're raised up, you know what? I'd never take welfare. I'd never do this. I'd never do that. And pretty soon it goes on into their life. Someone wants to give them a gift. You can't do that to me. For me. And realize that every time you do that, you're not giving the opportunity for someone to receive a blessing on this side and the world to come. Therefore, as Brother Branham said, the attitude that you take toward a person could determine their eternal destination. Now let's face it, every child that has come into this world is a fallen son, because God is the creator of all life, all living. We don't know. And we hope and trust that we do not have children that are serpent seed. They are the only ones that are fit for the destruction. But we may have children that are not in the election. And because they don't have that little thing within them to know, to see, to understand, to recognize, then they're pulled by the things of the world. And even when they are seed, they can be pulled by the things of the world. David was a man after God's own heart. Yet David lusted after another man's wife. David committed adultery, and to cover up his sin, he had her husband sent to the front lines where he was killed in battle. And God took that child born out of an illegitimate experience, God took that child, but then through Bathsheba, came forth Solomon. My heart goes out to the young people who do not have a revelation. My heart goes out to people in this message who live good, clean, godly lives, and yet who do not have a revelation. There's many fine to serve God and yet haven't a clue that God is here. Therefore haven't entered into His rest. I want for us as a people, a family, to begin praying for the young ones, to pray for Glenn Jr., to pray for Stephen Gray Jr., to pray for Big Randy, Little Randy, Chris, and the family, to pray for those who are not seeing, recognizing, and acting upon the Word of God. To have great heaviness and continual sorrow in our heart. To cry out to God that God would step on the scene in those people's lives. And that God would manifest Himself in a way that would visibly shake their foundation until they would come to rely upon God and to put their trust in God. For as Paul said, or as in the book of Revelation, Jesus said to John, they've left their first love. And they need our prayer and our support, our love and our fellowship. From the message identification, Brother Branham says, if you don't have a home church, get one. He said, you cannot live without one, for you will shrivel up as sure as you're sitting here. You've got to have fellowship. We don't fellowship enough in this church with one another. We need to fellowship more. We need not to be so reclusive to ourselves. But we need to schedule time, to make time, to fellowship one with another, building up one another, not tearing down, but loving one another. From Shalom, Brother Ram said, he said, thou art the King of Israel. There you are. I see it. I know it. Why? Because he was elected. The elected seed knows it, always through every age, that they know it. Brother Brown said that, what was the difference between the eagle and the chicken yard and the little chickens? They all heard the midnight cry. They all heard that voice. But one of them recognized the little eagle. He recognized. I want you to pray for Roger as well, if you remember him. He's a good boy. I talked to him at the funeral. But he just misguided. Misguided. You see, what it is with you young people is you get to a certain age and you want to show yourself independent. And that's one of the greatest mistakes you can ever make in your life. Because no man is an island to himself. The reason why God gives us family is so we have someone to hold on to to help us through our times, help us through our difficulties. He gives us a church. He calls it a church, a body of Christ, to help support one another, to build up one another. And when we try to become an island to ourselves, because we're going to be independent, that's when we fall. And then once we've fallen, the devil climbs on your back and says, "See, you've fallen. You're a sinner. You cannot go back." When Brother Branham's wife died, and then his daughter died, the devil entered that car when he's driving down the road. So why don't you just commit suicide, end it all? Why would you serve a God who would do that to your daughter, who would do that to your wife? And Brother Brown said, "I begin to tell the devil his end. I begin to tell him what was coming forth and how he'd be eventually annihilated." And he didn't stick around to hear the end. From the message, Shalom. Excuse me, from the message, Forsaking All, Brother Branham, in a prayer to God, he said, "Those who forsake all got to see you," speaking to God, "got to see you. And no matter what you would do, those who will not forsake sin and follow will never be able to understand." How does understanding come? By hearing, then recognizing, then acting upon. When John Wesley did not understand the message of grace, when he was converted, before he was converted, he had a mental understanding, slightly, of the power of God in the individual working within the depth of the bowel in your soul. He could see it in others, but he didn't have it in himself. And so he asked, I think his name was Peter, not Mueller, but Peter, I can't remember his last name, he was the minister that had showed him these things. Not you, Peter, but another Peter who was minister. He asked him, "What can I do?" And he said, "Preach it until you get it. Preach it until you get it." And John began to go out and to speak of the grace of God and how God could take a rank and lowly sinner and transform that individual into a son or daughter of God. And instead of having 8 people, that's the most he could muster up anyway, 8 people in a meeting, tried to be a great success in America, came over to America. He fled America. He went to visit the people, the sick, the people who wouldn't come to church. They grabbed him by the scruff of the neck, the seat of the pants, physically threw him out of their house. But when he got converted, as Jesus said to Peter, "When you're converted, strengthen the brethren." And how did he get converted? He began by preaching to repeat the promises of God. How do you learn anything but by repetition? How do you strengthen your understanding? Strengthen your self-confidence through repetition. When he began to repeat the promises of God, it began to bring strength. Brother Ram told a story about the man who he had a dream, or in the dream, he said that the devil had said to him, "Boom!" And he said, "Ooh." He got scared. And so the devil got bigger. and he got smaller. And the devil said it back to him again, boom! And he got smaller until finally, this kept going on until finally he got very small and the devil was huge. And he said, how? How can I overcome? And he said, say boo back. And when the devil said boo, he said boo! And the devil got smaller and he got bigger. Until finally he was so small, that's it. You know, there's an old man one time felt compassion for a dog. The dog was just looked like it hadn't eaten for days and days, maybe even a week or two, almost to the point of death. And the man took that dog into the house and he fed the dog, he nurtured the dog, he cared for the dog, and the dog got very possessive. And every time the man wanted to leave, he couldn't. The dog would stand at the door and growl because he felt like his meal ticket would be gone. The man didn't know how to get rid of the dog until one day it came to him. Just reverse what I've been doing. And he began to feed the dog less and less and less until the dog finally got so weak he was able to kick that old scoundrel out of the house. Mind you, the thing Brother Brown talked about, the old Indian chief. He said, there's two dogs at war within me, the white dog and black dog. He said, who's winning, chief? He said, the one I feed the most. What are we feeding ourselves? Are we feeding hope? Are we feeding the promises of God? Are we talking to the kids about the conditions of the world? Are we talking to them about this is the end time? Are we reinforcing in their minds the promises of God for those who love His appearing? I hope so. Because if you do, they will learn to love His appearing. So we're looking at a blinding of Israel, which is taking place, and of course to all the Gentile world as well. And I say all the Gentile world because in the Old Testament the word Gentile was referred to as all nations who were not believers. Therefore, in this sense, you are not Gentiles, although in the New Testament Paul refers to being Gentile Christians or Gentile believers. But I want you to look at the attitude that Paul had for the Jew by birth. He did not despise them because he could see and they could not see. But rather he looked at how they were the chosen people of God. They were the ones to whom God had earmarked and set forth the wonderful promises of God, as Paul said, to whom pertaineth the adoption. It was meant for them. And the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, and yet God allowed them to be purposely blinded in order that the light might come to the elect of God. I went to a funeral last week, and I met some very wonderful Christian people. Some young men who feel a call of God in their life. And their whole concern is to live a life for Christ. And it's a very wonderful thing. But when I began to talk about vindication, I had no clue what I was talking about. And when I talked about the Godhead, they became very attentive. When I talked about the parousia, the presence, the literal presence of God here, they just sat and listened. Good young men who have set forth their whole life to serve God, two young ministers, good kids, The grandparents came in the message. The parents are in the message. Their kids are in the message. And their grandkids are in the message. All of them. Not one outside. Very lovely people. In whom? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? And yet blind to what the end time message is. And my heart bleeds. It bleeds. Because I see in so many ways fine, godly, Christian people. And they just can't see. And I'm praying that some of the younger ones might begin to see. Paul said in Romans 11 that God did all of this with the Jew. He blinded them purposely that you and I might see. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. They're not cast away, but set aside. For I also am Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace, and if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. What's their table? What does he mean? Let their table become a recompense, a stumbling block. It's the pulpit. What they're being taught. They're teaching out there, God sent a prophet. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But what did the prophet say? What did he tell them? And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the reviving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. In other words, look, he's saying their source is in the root. They come forth from the root. But you being branches plucked off and placed in the tree are given even a greater preeminence. They are of the root, and yet they're broken off. Their branches are broken. The question goes out. We think of the root as being the family, right? How many of you young kids would be in service if your parents weren't? I know some of you will. Some of you do. But what bothers me is to see when the parents don't come, the kids don't either. Those that can't. Because that tells me there's no revelation. It's kind of a family thing. We do it all together. What dad, mom do, the rest of us go and do. Mom and dad play hooky, then the rest of us play hooky. Where is our revelation? You see, God don't have grandkids. He's got kids. And either you're his kid, or you're your dad's kid, or your mom's kid. Like Guy Gillis said to Billy Paul years ago, he said, "What would you rather be, the son of a prophet or a son of God?" How many of you believe you're a son of God? Then as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verse 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? In other words, when they come back. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are in my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root. Notice, you don't bear the root, but the root bears thee. That's why I said, you kids, when you get married, when you're searching for a vessel to hold as your wife or your husband, in whom your offspring will be brought forth, if they have the same root, in other words, they have godly heritage, they have parents who love the Lord, and grandparents who love the Lord, you're in a better condition to have children who love the Lord. That's why God got so upset with them for intermarrying with unbelievers. I could ask several of the brethren in here who's gone through divorce, what it's like. What it's like. Or people in this message today going through it. If they had a chance to do it all over again, would they have waited to marry a believer, someone who really, truly loved the Lord? God doesn't give you a wife just because they're of the same physical lineage. Irish with Irish, German with German, Polish with Polish. That's not the way God does things. Are we Irish or are we Christian? Are we German or are we seed of God? Are we Polish or are we God's kids? You see, it matters more. It matters more that the lineage is there from God. Young people in this message, getting married, they think they got the right one, but not knowing truly if that person's a real Christian or not. And finding out later down the road that they're not. Then you're stuck. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Let me repeat that. For God is able to graft them in again. Our God is a mighty God. He reigns over all the earth with wisdom and power. Our God is a mighty God. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodly from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, for as ye in times past have not believed God, ye have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. How is it that they became blinded? Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4 that the God of this evil age hath blinded the minds of them, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. In John 9:39, Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Acts 28, in closing, verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, Go unto his people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. What does it come down to? What is the evidence of life? That you might see and recognize and understand. Does that mean then you should go around haughty toward those who don't? I don't think so. When you begin to see